First, it's easy to take bread for granted. It's a staple of the sandwiches and the toast we eat every day, but our next guest takes bread to the next level and sees it as one of the most versatile ingredients around. She's with us to give us inspiration for how to make and then use those leftover pieces of bread, day-old slices, and turn them into delicious meals.
Alexandra Stafford is with us now. She blogs about food at Alexandra's Kitchen, and she's the author of Bread Toast Crumbs, recipes for no-need loaves and meals to savor every slice. Alexandra, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it sounds like your love affair with bread. It really started with your mother's famous no-knead peasant bread. Why is this particular bread so special?
I think the reason it's so special is because it truly is so simple. It's just, I think people think you have to do so many things to make a good loaf of bread. You have to, you know, let it rise for a super long time. You have to knead it. You have to bake it in a Dutch oven. You have to turn your oven into a professional oven. And this recipe that she's been making for my whole life is just, it's just, you know, it's four or five ingredients, you know, flour, salt, sugar, water, yeast. It rises in about an hour. The second rise is about 20 minutes, and it rises in these buttered Pyrex bowls, and you bake it, and a half an hour later, you have just this most, the most delicious bread. So I really think the what's so special about it is its simplicity.
But what I understand about this bread, this no-knead bread, is that your mom had it on a need-to-know basis. She would not share this recipe with anyone.
Oh, she wouldn't share it with even her closest friends. she would direct them to the back of the King Arthur flour bag, and she just would say, yeah, just follow the recipe. And for years, I didn't even think about sharing it on my blog. It just was untouchable. And then, you know, as time went on, I thought, gosh, this would be really, really nice to share with people. And she finally acquiesced and let me share it. So,
and it became kind of a sensation, didn't it? I understand it's gotten at least a million hits. So this is something that people are really interested in. They want to make bread, but it sounds like they just don't want to have to spend an entire day doing it.
Right. Exactly. It has. It has been from people who feared bread making their entire lives. I mean, they have people write in all the time saying, I never had success making bread, and this is the recipe that that did it for me. But also experienced bakers write in and they say, you know, I'm astonished by the results because I bake bread all the time, and for so long I've just been putting way more work into my loaves, and this is just as good. So it's, you know, for all sort of levels of bread bakers, it can fit into your, repertoire.
This recipe for our listeners, it is at Alexandra's Kitchen, our guest's blog. You can find it there and try it out. One pro tip, Alexandra, that you share in the book, you have a lot of them, but is when you're measuring out the flour, weigh it, don't measure it in a cup. Why is that?
It's just mostly for consistency. So if you were to scoop out a cup of flour and we were to put it on a scale, it would weigh one thing. If I were to do the same thing, it would weigh another. And if you multiply that by four, the final amount of flour will be totally different. So if you just know every single time that it's going to be 512 grams, you know, and you can hold the flour bag in one hand and just dump it into the bowl, and it takes less time, but foremost, it's will always be accurate.
And you've written this entire cookbook that revolves around bread, and it kind of starts with your mother's epic loaf of bread, but it moves on from there because you see bread as one of the most versatile ingredients that's around anywhere. Why do you think that bread is such a great ingredient?
Part of it is that because I'm baking bread all the time, I always have it on hand. So I'm kind of looking for creative ways to use it. But as I was doing research for the book, I learned that this is what people have been doing, you know, for centuries. They've been baking bread and they've been using it, and not just, you know, French toast and stuffing and sort of the classic things that we think about. They use it right down to the crumb. So, they'll take heels of bread. And I mean, the sort of classic example are these Italian grandmothers who would revive stale heels of bread with milk and then mix it with whatever scraps of meat they had on hand, and they'd make delicious meatballs. And then it can be a thickener in soups to just give, you know, give it texture, or sauces. There are countless examples. And I find, you know, I always have half a loaf on hand. And if I don't, I have a stash of crumbs in the freezer that I can, you know, crisp up and toss over pasta, or toss over, they just, you know, toss over vegetables. They just add a little, you know, sautéed vegetables can get boring if it's just olive oil and garlic the whole time. And if you crisp up some breadcrumbs with some seasoning, it, you know, the dish transforms, and it's just such a simple way to do it.
Alexandra Stafford is with us now. She's the author of the new cookbook, Bread, Toast, Crumbs, Recipes for No-Knead Loaves, and Meals to Savor Every Slice. Let's get into some of those recipes now. We've got a few linked, by the way, on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll have a pronunciation challenge for Rob here. Pasta di aere. Am I anywhere near?
Sure.
With anchovies, tomatoes, onions, if that helps narrow it down based on my pronunciation.
Yeah, I didn't take French, but I think it's pisola the air. You pronounce the R, and it's just this classic French.
I was shooting for Italian. That's where I went wrong.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you see it if you've seen any breads that sort of look like focaccia with the anchovies arranged in kind of a crisscross pattern, and then there's usually like an olive in the center of the diamonds that are made by these crisscrossed anchovies. And I think some people, they think they don't like anchovies, so if they see them like that, they just, you know, they'll be instantly turned off. But if you puree the anchovies with the garlic and the capers and some olive oil, and you kind of make a paste and spread that over the dough, and then add tomatoes and caramelized onions, and it's just really delicious. It's that sweet. There's the caramelized onions, and then all the sweet from the capers and the anchovies and the olives. So there's that salty sweet dynamic, which is really nice. And that's a great thing to make. You could kind of make it, I mean, not super far in advance, but you make it, you just serve it at room temperature, just cut it into squares, and it's just a nice, a nice lunch or an appetizer.
How hard is that one to make?
Oh, I mean, they're all just, I mean, the dough recipe, the dough for the pisola di aere is the same as the master peasant bread recipe. So same exact process. You just, instead of baking it in those buttered Pyrex bowls, you spread it onto a 9x13, you know, rimmed baking sheet, add some more olive oil, let it rest for about, if you let it rest for 20 minutes, it's easy to stretch, and if it resists, you just let it rest for another 5 minutes, stretch it again, and that's it. Then you top it and bake it. It's as simple, with the exception of having to make the toppings. It's as simple as the master recipe.
And this is anchovies, tomatoes, and onions. I imagine you can play around with that a lot, what you're actually putting in that topping.
Oh, yes, definitely. There's another, a different variation in the book has grapes and pancetta. I've put creme fraiche and caramelized onions, and thyme is delicious. You could make it cheesy. You could, any way you would top a pizza, you could top the pisola di aere.
And you have recipe for, I mean, what I would call really fancy toast, because toast is really having a moment right now. I'm seeing it. There are whole restaurants devoted to fancy toast, avocado toast, and it seems as though, you know, toast has been elevated, and you have a spin on that. You know, it's not quite bruschetta, but it is a bread. You've got your fava salad on it and herbed ricotta. Can you talk us through that particular recipe?
Sure. And that one was inspired by a lunch that my Aunt Marcy and I had together. And we were she's in Burlington, Vermont. And it was this, you know, it's always freezing there, and or most of the year it's freezing. And it was, you know, end of March, and we were just looking for something fresh. And Lake Champlain was still like icy, and there was snow everywhere. And we went to this restaurant, and I think sadly it's closed now. But it was just the freshest. So they had made homemade ricotta, which they had seasoned with lemon zest and thyme. And then they topped it just with endive and fava beans and radishes. And it just, it was the first signs of spring. And it's one of my favorites to make this time of year, when you just kind of, you can't quite get all the sort of spring gems that you love from the farmer's market. But, you know, some things are starting to show some life, and you could make any kind of salad and top it, but there's something nice about the bitter endive and the radishes, and then in combination with the creamy ricotta, it's nice.
Alexandra Stafford is with us right now. She blogs about food at Alexandra's Kitchen, and she's the author of the new cookbook, Bread Toast Crumbs, recipe for no-need loaves and meals to savor every slice.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a simple, no-fuss bread recipe in your family? What's your secret to the perfect bread for grilled cheese? Do you have your own special version of fancy gourmet toast, like avocado toast? Do you have questions for a guest about making bread or about using that bread in fun, exciting new ways, different kinds of recipes, or using that old stale bread for that matter? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page, where you'll find some of our Food Friday recipes linked.
And we'll pick up our conversation with Alexandra Stafford in just a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And our guest, Alexandra Stafford, stays with us. She blogs about food at Alexandra's Kitchen and is the author of the book, Bread Toast Crumbs, recipes for no-need loaves and meals to savor every slice.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have simple bread recipes you like to make? Do you have a no-need recipe? Or do you need some advice on how to do that? Have you been frustrated like me on more fanciful, labor-intensive types of breads? Need some advice, something a little more your speed? And do you use bread in different recipes, maybe unexpected places? Do you save those old stale slices for soup, meatballs, you name it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find some recipes from our guest on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We have Carol joining us first in Nina. Carol, hi.
Hi. I am calling. I love to bake bread. I use a bread machine sometimes. I do it by hand. But I'm always struggling with what type of flour I should be using for the best quality bread. There's so many different types of flours out there. And just looking for a little bit of guidance in that area.
Great question. And what do you think about that, Alexandra? Are you faithful to a particular brand of flour?
I am. I've always, and this is also because my mother has always used King Arthur flour. I have always used King Arthur flour. That's not to say I haven't tried other flours. And something I have been trying to do more recently is use some local flours. There's a flour company in the Finger Lakes called Farmer Ground Flour that I like because they stone mill the flour, so they keep the kernel intact when they grind it. I don't want to get too technical. They sift out some of the bran and the germ, so it has a little bit of a whole wheat kind of nature to it, but it's not as hard to work with as, you know, using a 100% whole wheat flour. So that's nice because it has a little more flavor. I think in terms of picking a flour, it really just depends on what your goal is. I mean, so I use King Arthur all-purpose flour all the time because it truly is, it's so reliable. It always works. And I'm not necessarily the best at getting my whole grains through my bread. I just, bread for me is just pure pleasure. I just love eating it. And, it's a vehicle for other toppings and spreads. But if you want to use it as a way to get whole grains, then there are lots of great whole wheat flours out there. And a new one from King Arthur Flour that I've discovered is their sprouted wheat flour. And so every so often I'll use half of the amount of flour. I'll substitute this sprouted wheat flour because it does give, it gives it some, just a little bit of a different flavor. The texture of the crumb is still light, but it does kind of feel a little bit better. You know, you feel like you feel a little bit more virtuous about the bread that you're eating. If you want like a rye bread, you just, you know, one cup of rye flour goes a long way. Where it gets tricky is, you know, if you want to do gluten-free, that takes a little bit more. experimenting, because every gluten-free flour absorbs water in different ways, so it gets a little tricky. There's one gluten-free recipe in the book, you know, when so every so often I'll get a comment saying, "Oh, I substituted coconut flour and it just didn't work." And I mean, it's tricky. It gets tricky when you start making these substitutions with gluten-free flours.
Carol, thanks a lot for the call and happy baking. We'll go back to our callers now with Corey in New London. Corey, hi.
Hi. So pretty much for my like favorite grilled cheese, I use a honey walnut bread, and I put smoked Gouda cheese in it. But I've never made my own bread with that, so might have to try that out.
All right, smoked Gouda and honey walnut bread is his combo. Yeah, I imagine you've got some thoughts, Alexandra, on the issue of grilled cheese.
That sounds so good. Oh, I have to say that combination, Corey.
That sounds delicious. I do. I have a few sort of tricks that I always employ when I make a grilled cheese, but I'm not necessarily, you know, it doesn't have to be a certain bread. It doesn't have to be a certain cheese. I love different combinations, but the tricks I use, and lots of people know this trick now, but is to use mayonnaise on the bread as opposed to butter, because mayonnaise, it browns much more evenly and it won't burn before the cheese melts. But I like to mix that mayonnaise with a little bit of salted butter, because then you don't lose the buttery flavor. So you still get, you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get the buttery flavor, and you also, your bread will brown nice and evenly. I always sort of smear the bread, so I never add oil or butter to the pan. It's just directly on the bread. I weigh down the first side with either like a bacon press or another heavy pan to just get it going, and then I don't weigh it down on the second side. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's about it.
You're already
but
way
I do
past
have,
me, yeah.
Yeah, I have my method down, but I that honey walnut with Gouda sounds amazing.
I gotta agree about that. Corey, thanks a lot, and hope some of these ideas work. Mayonnaise on bread. Grilled cheese, which is one of my favorite meals, pretty much. So do you taste the mayonnaise? Does it taste like that or no?
Amazingly, you don't. I think I did find when I first learned the trick, I was using exclusively mayonnaise, and then the more grilled cheeses I ate, I thought, gosh, I just think something's missing a little bit. I think it was just that buttery taste. But you really don't taste the mayonnaise at all. It's incredible.
Definitely one to try. We're talking with Alexandra Stafford right now. Blogs about food at Alexandra's Kitchen, and her new cookbook is called Bread Toast Crumbs. And let's go back to our callers now. We have Sue joining us in Baraboo. Sue, hi.
Hi. My question is pertaining to the way that flour has been processed in the most recent years leading up to today, because I have heard from some people who are just terrific home bakers that flour has changed, and it produces more of a tasteless home product. So I was just wondering what your expert thinks on that.
I have heard this too, and this is part of the reason why I was saying I was trying to go back to sort of the trying to experiment more. Sorry, with the local flour and the stone milled flours, because a lot of people do most flour in this country is milled by roller milling. So the kernel is separated into its three separate parts, and even whole wheat flour, it's separated and then it's put back together. And a lot of people believe that as soon as it's separated, the flavor is lost and the nutritional value is also lost. I still use all-purpose flour, and I love it because it's so easy to work with, and I don't find the taste to have been affected, too much. But I do think that there's something to be said about this stone milling, which keeps the kernel intact and probably is much more nutritious. And there definitely are some flavor. You can taste the wheat more. I'm trying to think. I think if you are concerned about that, that would be something to look for. Would be to look for a local flour, just because you'll know it will have been milled fresh for you, and look for the stone milling, because that does mean that it's the kernel has been kept intact through the milling. I don't know if that helps.
Sue, thanks a lot. Hope that does help. As we start to wrap up, Alexandra, one thing we love here at Central Time is dessert. How can we take some of our savory bread and turn it into a delicious dessert?
There's some classic examples like bread pudding, which is delicious. And Charlotte, that was a new thing that I discovered. I think it's a southern dessert, but you basically take slices of bread and you soak them in butter, and then you line a pan with your bread, and then you fill it with fruit and top it with sugar and you bake it, and that's also delicious. But some of the more surprising ones for me were just the same way that you would for a savory application where you toast up crumbs with olive oil and add garlic or lemon zest or however you want to season it, and you put it over pasta or vegetables, you can do that but make it sweet. So you use butter and you saute the crumbs in butter and you add a little bit of sugar, or you add some toasted coconut, or you add cocoa, and they are just these irresistible. I taught a class on like a bread toast crumbs baking class, and people were so surprised by how good the cocoa crumbs were on, you know, a scoop of ice cream. So you really can do a lot. And another, classic genre is the Brown Betty, where it's very similar to like a blueberry crisp or a fruit crisp.
But, it all sounds delicious. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us. Lots of ideas for us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Alexandra Stafford. She blogs about food at Alexandra's Kitchen, and she's the author of Bread Toast Crumbs, recipes for no-need loaves and meals to savor every slice. And don't forget, you can find 3 of her recipes, utilizing, of course, bread, over on the Central Time Facebook page. So check those out. Might be a good rainy weekend to do some bread baking.